So you're a Seattle police officer with a part-time job, and your part-time job is against the law. What happens? Well, today on A Tour Guide's Guide, we're going to find out. My name is Ian McDonald, and we're going to look at the life of Roy Olmsted. Roy Olmsted was born in Beaver City, Nebraska in 1886. Eventually, the family moved to Seattle, and in 1907, he started with the Seattle Police Department. His rise through the police was meteoric. 1910, sergeant, 1917, acting lieutenant, 1919, full lieutenant. Now, one night during the Prohibition era, Roy went on a raid of a bootlegger's hideout, backing up the Prohibition officials. And he saw just how much money a bootlegger could make. Well, thought Roy, this is a pretty good side job. So, in his spare time, he started smuggling bootleg whiskey from Canada into Washington State. Now, one night, in 1920, while trying to get around a Prohibition roadblock, he was recognized. They chased him down. They caught him. He was fined $500 and fired from his job in the Seattle Police Department. Well, what to do, thought Roy? Now I can go full time. And that's exactly what Roy Olmsted did. He started building his smuggling network. And in fact, he built it so big that he became Northwest Washington's largest employer. He was known as the good bootlegger because he didn't get involved with drugs or gambling, guns or prostitution. He didn't water down the alcohol. He sold it full strength. He refused to let his people carry a weapon. He said he would rather lose a shipment than lose a life. And that if his people were confronted with the law, that rather than resort to violence, they should resort to bribery. Now, it was said that at his peak, Roy Olmsted was grossing $200,000 a month in sales. He ran his smuggling operation just like a business. He actually chartered three ships to bring alcohol from England to Vancouver, and then a fleet of boats, speedboats, to transport the alcohol from Vancouver into Washington State, where it was hidden on a isolated ranch in Puget Sound. And then from there, he distributed his alcohol to speakeasies and some very influential Seattle customers for years. Roy's network got so big that he needed an effective way to communicate with his network. Well, enter his second wife, Elise. Elise had worked for British intelligence during the First World War, and they came up with an idea. They started a radio station, and every night at 7:15 p.m., Elise had a program called Aunt Vivian's Bedtime Stories, where she would go on the air and read stories to the children of Washington. And they say that coded into those bedtime stories were secret messages to the smuggling network. Roy was eventually brought down by a wiretap on his phone. They gathered a whole bunch of evidence, and in 1926, he and 90 other people went on trial for conspiracy and smuggling against the Prohibition Act. Roy was convicted and sentenced to 4 years of hard labor and fined $8,000. He was released in 1931, but he couldn't stay out of prison. You see, while he was in prison, he found the Christian Science religion, and when he got out, he started working with other prisoners, showing them the way, the path of good, and encouraging them to stay out of jail. And President Roosevelt was so impressed with how Roy had turned himself around that in 1935, President Roosevelt granted Roy a full pardon and gave him $100,000 to pay off the taxes he owed to the IRS for smuggling alcohol. Roy Olmsted worked the rest of his life as an insecticide salesman and fumigator in the Seattle area, and he passed away in 1966. Well, that is the story of Roy Olmsted, the good bootlegger. How is that not a movie? I don't know. Anyway, this is Ian McDonald and a tour guide's guide signing off. Until next time, thank you so much for listening.